The euro drops in value against the dollar. So what does that mean for us here in the United States?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. European negotiators are expected tomorrow to hold talks on a new treaty leaders agreed to last week, which would strengthen budgetary oversight to avert any future debt crisis. Well, meanwhile, there are fresh concerns that ratings agencies could downgrade the entire eurozone, which has the U.S. dollar today at an 11-month high against the euro. Marketplace's Scott Tong is live with us now from Washington with the latest. Morning, Scott.
Good morning, Steve.
So what does a weak euro mean for the American economy?
Well, here's the picture. One U.S. dollar today will buy you 76 euro cents. A year ago, it bought you just 69, so a buck buys more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That means if you travel there, you get more German hotel for your money, or Belgian chocolate, Chateau Lafite Rothschild, you know, whatever you're buying.
Yeah.
That's if you're a buyer. Now, if you sell stuff, it, of course, works the other way around. You want a weaker currency if you're an exporter. I spoke this morning to Gabriel Stein at the economic forecasting firm Lombard Street Research, and he sees the shakeout this way.
Obviously, if the euro is weak and the dollar is strong, Airbus will do better than Boeing, for instance, all things being equal. German machine sales, for instance, will do better than American.
Now, he and others are quick to say that exchange rates are just a small piece of this world economic picture. I mean, jobs and growth, that stuff still matters, Steve.
And even though, you know, we had all this or have all this European turmoil, Scott, the value of the euro had been hanging on. Why the drop now?
Well, hanging on against the dollar, which had been weak as well. I mean, this is a worldwide economic ugly contest, as we all know. In Europe, more pessimism, shocking as that may sound, today. The questions include, is Europe's bailout fund big enough? Are the countries there really serious about ratifying last week's rescue plan? So the questions don't go away.
All right. Marketplace is Scott Tong in Washington. Scott, thanks.
You're welcome.
The Japanese camera maker Olympus today submitted revised earnings reports a few months after an alleged fraud dating back 20 years came to light. The BBC's Roland Burke is with us now from Tokyo with the latest on that story. Hey, Roland.
Good morning.
We finally gotten a clear picture of the actual financial health of Olympus. How's the company doing?
Well, considering it's admitted hiding investment losses, $1.5 billion dating back decades, better than you might think. What it's had to do is refile its results from the last 5 years. It's shown that at no point were its liabilities bigger than its assets. It was never technically insolvent. It has made a loss in the first half of this year of $414 million, but nothing like as bad as it could have been. And by filing these results by today, the company has avoided automatic delisting from the Tokyo Stock Exchange.
I want to talk about that, Roland, because there have been threats to do that. What would it mean for the company if that eventually did happen?
Well, it could still happen. The Tokyo Stock Exchange is now looking at the numbers and thinking about the scale of the deception. If it did happen, it would cut the company, Olympus, off from the markets, cut it away from the possibility of easily raising more capital. That could see Olympus having to sell off its core assets. It's a camera maker and a big force in endoscopes, in medical endoscopes. And that could perhaps spell the end for the company. So today, Olympus dodged a bullet, but it's not out of the woods yet.
The BBC's Roland Burke in Tokyo. Roland, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly lower at the moment. The Federal Reserve kept interest rates near zero, but didn't go for a round three of buying U.S. treasuries in an effort to boost the economy. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow shed 66 points to close at 11,954.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. By Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by Money Magazine, offering personal finance advice, ideas, and tips on managing your health, home, career, travel, tech, investments, and more. December's issue, Make Money in 2012, is on newsstands now.
National Football League owners today will vote on the sale of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Businessman Shahid Khan is all but certain to get that team for around $760 million. Now, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, there may have been some unspoken influence on the deal from clear across the country.
That influence came from Los Angeles. The city gave the go-ahead for developer AEG to create plans for a new stadium. Now it's looking for a football team to play in it. Rodney Paul is a sports finance professor at Syracuse University.
Given that L.A. is out there, a huge market, a huge potential source of profits and revenues, that constantly stays in the mind of potential buyers to these teams.
L.A. has been without a pro football team for more than 15 years. The Vikings, the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Rams have all been in talks with AEG's reps. And L.A. has a lot to offer to whichever team lands here. Brad Humphreys teaches economics at the University of Alberta in Canada.
This is the first time that there's been a credible privately financed stadium deal in place. And that's going to clearly be a big incentive to the league to fill that market.
Humphreys says the NFL will have the final say on the team that moves to L.A. And he says the Jaguars, which can't fill its stadium, is a good candidate. Rodney Paul says buyer Shahid Khan's investment could double in value if the team moves to L.A.
It's silly to think that would not be in the back of his mind.
Fans are thinking about it, too. The Florida Times Union posted this video on its website from a recent game in Jacksonville.
We happy he's here, but don't take our team away.
Khan says he has no plans to move the team. He'd have to pay a hefty fee to break the team's lease in Jacksonville.
Go Jaguars!
But a shiny new billion-dollar stadium in one of the biggest markets in the country could be pretty tempting. In Los Angeles, I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, the Federal Aviation Administration says starting this Friday, American Airlines pilots will be able to use iPads in the cockpit, even during takeoff and landing. Those iPads will replace paper flight manuals. But the ban on passengers using devices such as iPads, phones, or anything with an on-off button will continue. And while you won't be able to play Words with Friends during the beginning and end of a flight, we can only hope the pilots won't be either. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Congress and Wall Street bankers. A lot of people think they're one and the same.
By a 62% to 21% margin, voters in Texas believe that big business and big government typically work together against the interests of consumers.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Attitude Check, our partnership with Gallup. Big government versus big business. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.